what would you do?
Yeah. And a KPP mobile. Awful quiet out here for a Saturday morning.
W8RCY, I heard Dakota on the road around 6 this morning, which surprised me. I think Phil just chimed in, but it was a little scratchy on my line, on my radio, and you were, I think I heard you when you probably left the house in New Baltimore, and now you're coming through really clear. Other than that, though, that's about it.
You are correct. I am on my mobile. Well, that makes the thing. Yeah. I'm helping that ARPS thing today, teach that technician class. I got to do the electrical part of it. So that's where I'm heading. So I'm going to miss breakfast, but I'm going to be close to you guys.
Where do they hold those meetings? Near Sean's campus or someplace else?
Today, the Macomb Community Center.
You mean the campus of Macomb Community College there on Hall Road, or is it the one on 12 Mile?
Something on Mound about 14, right in that area, is what I thought. probably should look, shouldn't I?
I'm not familiar with it. I've never heard of one on mound anywhere. So that's new to me, but okay, still. Yeah. Well, if nobody shows up, you can still join the guys for breakfast.
Well, the rumor I had heard last night is there's 11 candidates. So I'm assuming that that should be a thing.
Leaving a little space, but I came in from Chesterfield this morning, and the significant other is out in Orchard Lake for her Saturday morning routine, and I'm here with my, she was a bad girl this morning, she was lagging behind, so she bought Starbucks, and so I'm sitting here with a Starbucks coffee and a breakfast sandwich, and I'm a happy camper for right now.
Oh, very good. You're going to the breakfast club, I take it.
You take that wrong. I am no longer attending for reasons I don't care to talk about over the radio.
Okay, that sounds like a phone call someday, because we still got to program that little radio of yours too and put a couple channels in it. So I know we've talked about it, but things are finally starting to wind down at work a little bit. All the partners are back, and I think I vented enough about our company controller retiring, and she's a nice girl, but took a lot of secrets with her, and we don't know where all of the bodies are. I mean, nothing illicit. It's just that she was kept everything to herself, very good at her job, and now there's three guys in charge that can't find anything.
Well, of my five motos, we're only changing two, one HT, one mobile unit, to be updated for, 70 centimeter, and the other stuff plus DMR. And the third radio just needs a PTT situation because one of my frequencies is not transmitting out. And that's just going to be a GMRS unit, so that's no big deal. But, yeah, we'll talk. I mean, again, I know how busy everybody has been during the holidays and the end of the year and the changeover. I've got all the patience in the world to get this done. We'll get together and talk. But, everything else is just fine. You know, everything else in the world is ducky. Some of you guys might want to start heading home, though, by about 10:30 because that's when the snowmageddon is starting. And it's funny because I'm looking at the map right now on my computer, and the line is 8 Mile. Everything south of 8 Mile is clear. Anything north of 8 Mile is going to get the snow right now. But that can all change.
Yeah. Oh, I should have waited a little. All right, after I get done talking, I'll let you take a break, see if anybody else wants in on it. I had not heard the amount of snow we're supposed to get, but I did last night, so I drove my big truck. I got a big four-wheel drive truck, personal truck. I drove that just in case, but, you know, usually if they're expecting it and stuff like that, that's fine. But I got a monster pickup truck. It's one of those things I had to have many years ago, couldn't live without. Blah, 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 and I bought it, and it really wasn't that much more than a gas pickup truck, so it's a diesel, and I was, like, shocked at the price difference at the time because they couldn't give these things away, and I said, okay, for that much money more, I'll take it, so I did, and it's very, you feel very safe in the thing, I got to say that, you do feel very, very safe in it, but with it comes all of the hassles of owning a diesel fuel. A little harder to get fuel, very expensive to get the oil changed, although you can go like 115,000 miles before you have to have the oil changed, and all sorts of other stuff. But we'll give it a break, see if anybody else wants in, and you can tell me what you were expecting on the snow. NAKPP.
Well,
NAKPP,
station out there, I heard chime in. I didn't catch all your call sign. But go ahead. Welcome to the conversation. W8RCY.
Hold on. Let me turn my thing around a little bit. Hold on. yard here on Kentucky. 12 and Char. Getting the mark here. Hey, WJL.
Good morning, Phil. W8NJL, I think it was. Go ahead, sir.
November 8, Whiskey, Julian Lima. And I just heard Phil in there. Is y'all still having breakfast over there at the Cozy Cabin?
Yes, sir.
Roger, Roger. I was just kind of wondering because I know they had a problem, an electrical problem or something, and it was closed down. I didn't know it was closed down for good or what. Okay. All right. Good to know. Go ahead, Bill. NAWJL, November 8th. We're just leaving.
Okay. I'm on the real radio now. Yeah. Yep. I'm just about there right now, actually. Hello, Don, and... Well, Wally, neither of you are coming, huh? All right. Go ahead, Don.
No, I won't be there. And Phil's got a class he's attending for amateur radio. They are, it's a PC, I think it is. And, to the other gentleman, your name slips my mind. I've heard you on the radio a thousand times. Yeah, the Cozy Cabin was closed for about 3 months with that power surge that went through the building. And they've been open up now for about maybe 2 months. The guys have been going back. And, so it's good to be back home and so on and so over there. But, it's not too bad of a deal. Food's good. Service is good. Camaraderie. Yeah, it's all good. W-E-R-C-Y. Wally, are you still hanging around?
Yes, sir. Driving on the ice rink called I-94, about 21-mile road. So I think I'm going to cut across 16-mile today, get off this highway as quick as I can, and then take my own south. But got to do that. So, I had heard that they had relocated temporarily because of a power problem, but I figured it's usually one of the two places, and they're both really close, so when I do show, I'll be able to find it, or I'll call a friend or something, so that won't be too big of a deal. So, how's it going, Phil? How's your repeater working over there? I got to put that in, I was over there in Bloomfield Hills yesterday, and I got to put that in my radio, but I have to do it via PC.
Okay, well, I'm at the parking lot of the Cozy Cabin, and I'm a handy talking inside the car. So, just give you an idea how it's working. It's working very well. Thank you, and I'm here. So, hey, beep here. Go on inside.
Have fun. Tell everybody I said hi. We said hi, and I'll talk to you guys later. You be good. Okay, Mr. Don. What are you talking on? You're talking on a handy talkie too, aren't you?
Yes, sir. I'm talking on my Wooks On, Wooks Off, KTUV9PX, 440 2-meter HT, and I only have two HTs right now on ham. Everything else I have is GMRS and commercial and DMR. These are the only two radios I have, and this is pumping out 8 watts to the Warren repeater from my location at 11.5 in DeQuinder.
You know, for a tiny radio, that thing's not doing too bad. I can't really complain about it much. So, of course, I'm hitting Warren now with the big boy radio, and probably hitting it with more power than I need to. Probably could turn that down a tad. But I should be in pretty good shape. But, yeah, that's good. Yeah, we got to do that. Hey, that commercial part of that radio you're on, is that a, you lease that space? Or Is that just something that's out there or whatever? Because I was, you know, thinking if I had to pay for a commercial space or a private space or something like that for Marion to use one of my HTs, I would. I was just curious how that works, or you know somebody. I know you do it for your side gig, but I was just curious if there was a space or somebody that does that, like they used to do that years ago, you know, in the UHF part of the world.
It's not a commercial thing. It's a DMR thing, and it's their DMR MI, which stands for Michigan Turbo System. And it pretty much is, the footprint is almost identical to the M5 system here that they have. And my system goes up to just north of where Joanne's parents live up in Forrester. And I think this one here that's part of the M5 doesn't quite make it up there. But yes, there is a subscription. Yes, I know some people at Motorola. I've been loyal to Motorola for close to 30 years now, I think. 92 is when I started working with Motorola's commercial side. And in 2019, I bought all these XPRs, and they were talking to me about a Wave system, which is similar to Zello DMR, or the MI Turbo system, and I chose the MI Turbo system. And I've got 5 lines, and they're normally about $25 a line, and I get them for a discount because I have an old fart loyalty senior citizen discount thing.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense. Okay, $25. I was just curious what it was for nowadays and everything else like that. So I don't know if it would be worth the 50, but I just, you know, was curious about it, because that's about what I used to pay many, many, many years ago, before cell phones. I had a tool truck, and I had HTs that I used to use, not HTs, but mobile radios. I used to go back and forth. But back then, I think the guy put me on GMRS. I'm almost positive that's where he put me, but that was when GMRS was not hand light. You know, it was kind of used like it was supposed to be. But, I mean, the guy had a tower that was like 300 feet in the air on top of a big hill and things like that, so he had fantastic coverage, and he took care of it, so it was worth it back then.
I haven't heard Sean this morning. I hope he's out there, and if he is out there listening, good morning, Sean. Anywho, I've been on GMRS since 1978, and when I started, there was only one. You were only allowed one channel on one repeater in your general area. I grew up in St. Clair Shores, right off of 696 and I-94, and my one channel was the 600 channel before it got changed because of Line A, Line B with Canada. And my tower was 280 feet on top of Shore Club at 9 Mile and Jefferson, that high rise.
Well, that should have had some pretty coverage, good coverage. Yeah, this thing used to do about 30 miles, maybe a little more, because I used to go from Pawpaw, you know, rural Michigan, over to Dowagiac, and it would cover it just fine. So, you know, but then again, like you said, that was back, and the only problem I ever had with congestion was, back then, years ago, was with the farmers, because the grape farmers would also use his tower, which is basically the month of September the radio was, you know, it was kind of hard to get a word in edgewise, but the other 11 months, I had no complaints with the guy, and he was good about it. You know, he's his TM, he's still around, NETH, and he's kind of like the West Side version of Sean. You know, he had repeaters all over the place, and he did all that kind of stuff back then. He's still got a good friend. He was the one that got me into amateur radio, and he still got his UHF repeater over there. He sold all the VHF stuff. He had it connected together. He was an anti-digital guy, too. No digital. I saw him about a year ago at a funeral. No digital, no digital. So every time I'm over there, I talk to him. I said, man, I said, let me find out how to put AllStarLink on that so I can talk to you. And I think he'd go for that, but it was one of those things that never happened. NAKPPWARCY, go ahead. And, oh, I'll take a break again, see if anybody else wants it.
Well, there's either no more takers or everybody's at the restaurant, so. But, yeah, and for my commercial side, back in 2019, in all the years that I've been in racing, working as an official, we've had companies like Racing Radios, who I work with, and not really much a competitor, but another company called Racing Electronics. And these are the companies that supply radios to the, racing world in IndyCar, IMSA, NASCAR, all of them. And I work with them, and in 2019, I needed a new radio because I had an old Motorola 1250, and it was getting banged up. And I just said, well, I would prefer to own my own equipment versus when you go to the track and you got a Pelican case full of radios packed in foam, but they're all beaten up, the antennas are bent up. You don't know what's working and what's not working on them. So for years, I've owned my own equipment. And that's how I got started with the XPRs that I have now. And plus, I got the extra ones from that sheriff's department out of New Jersey. They had a fire sale. But, yeah, I love my motos. You know it. You're happy with them. You took my advice. You fool! And, so that's how it is. All right, we've tied up the channel long enough, so I will let you get to your little office party. I will sit here. I don't see I belched. Wow, that was weird. Excuse me for that. I'll sit here with my Starbucks and open up the blinds and wait for it to start snowing, which it hasn't done yet here. Everybody enjoy their day. We'll be monitoring W8RCY.
NAKPP, about 15 minutes out, my destination project, mobile.
W8VIJ.
CQ, CQ, W8VIJ calling CQ and bye for any call.
KF8S Mobile.
How are the roads? They were kind of stinky.
when I was out there coming back from breakfast.
Yeah, I just cleared the driveway and the court, or the curb. That was fun. I think we're going to get some more, but I needed to get out to Costco, so I used that as my motivation. But it's still slippery out here, but most of the roads are clear. Just got to be careful when you need to turn or, you know, get into a lane where nobody's really using.
Well, you're doing it at the right time, because I guess it's going to start again after 3, so if you do got any running around or shopping to do, go get it done now. I'm just trying to debating whether I want to go grab something for, and then lock down and watch cat videos all night. Can't really decide, but I got plenty of alcohol here, so I'll be entertained. But I was going to go out there and blow it, but there ain't enough, unless I'm going to go somewhere, and I don't want to, you know, drive through it. I'll probably just wait till it starts after 3 and then go out at some point. But, yeah, you're making the right move. Get out there now before it starts up again.
Yeah, I'm so glad I didn't decide I was going to sell my toothpaste. I mean, I've gotten the most juice out of it the last 2 days than I have the last couple of years, so that's been very helpful. And you know, now that I know that they're not going to clear the area around by circle there, it even more useful.
So you got a big trip or just a little run? I did most of mine. I think yesterday. Yeah. I got most of my shopping done yesterday. And then I didn't get gas the night before the storm was supposed to come in. And I was like, you know, I only had like a little over a quarter tank. I figured, well, I'll be okay. And then I went out the next day when the storm was supposed to have been there, and it was like easy peasy. I pulled right up and got my gas, you know, so that worked out really well. I'm going to do that next time. I'm going to not... get in line with all the preppers trying to get their gas tanks filled up before the storm, and just make my way over there and get my gas the day of the storm, so I get in and out real easy. Because I'm not afraid of the snow, but I did get pulled over and got a ticket on my way to get gas, so there is that hazard. Not to beat that dead horse again.
Yeah, we don't need too many things. We're low on paper towels, and there were some other items I wanted to get at Costco. One of the drinks that I like drinking. And probably going to pick up one of their pizzas on the way out. And that will be it. Then I'm going to just go bunker down. My wife's got to work tonight, so just trying to get everything settled, you know, got to feed the kids and all that stuff, so it's not really prep for me. It's more survival and what items do we need. And I did my best to get everything prepared before the storm hit. I got gas for my the snowblower and all that. I am really amazed though. I thought I was going to need a 5-gallon tank, but this two-gallon tank of gas is really doing well for the snowblower. It doesn't really use much gas at all. I always thought it was a gas guzzler.
I think you got one a lot like I have now. I had the big two-stage, you know, with the big 24-inch auger and the metal auger and all that stuff. And, you know, that's good for when it gets deep, wet, heavy, you know, the dual stage and all that. But it's unnecessary. And now I've got one of the paddle-type single-stage ones, and man, it sips gas. I'll tell you what, I did my drive twice so far, and I went to top it off, and it was like it barely needed anything. Like that's not bad, but unless the snow is beyond its capability, and the only way it gets that way is if I just, you know, let it go. I mean, if we're gonna get dumped on with like 12 inches, I'll just make sure I get my ass out there, you know, when it's at 5 or 6, knock it off, and then, I'll just have to hit it twice, right? But it's pretty easy to use, so that is not a big deal. But I'm pretty happy with the single stage for the kind of snow we've been getting in recent years. Now, you know, can you get dumped on with one of those, you know, wet, heavy March, you know, footers? Sure, you know, and then you're gonna probably struggle with something like that. But you know, we don't really get that too much anymore. So I like it really well. I think it works great. It's a toy built, so it's, you know, just a box store one. It's nothing exotic. Works great. Like you were saying, sips gas.
Yeah, that's the... Where? I don't see no vehicle. I have a Troy built as well, and I think probably bought at the same place. I think I got mine at Lowe's. And, you know, I've been happy with it. I might have to change the little seat, you know, the little, I don't know what you call them. They have a name, I'm sure. They wear out. The wear pads.
Okay, let's see here. I got the receipt for mine. Let's see where the hell it was purchased. And, Lowe's.
Yep. I think mine was on sale. I mean, I don't have a big, I mean, it sounds like I have this huge snowblower. It's just, I think it's only 21 inch or maybe 22 inch or whatever, but it'll do the snow drift up to about 8 inches. And it was at the top. At the end of my driveway, the snow got pushed aside. Well, this snow today, when I first cleared it, it was, you know, kind of that powdery stuff, the nice stuff you want to do. But then as the time went on, it started getting a little more wet and sloppy snow. So we're at like, the freezing point, you know, where it could be either snow or it could be slush. So... it will be interesting to see what happens with this next storm that comes through.
Yeah, well, as long as it stays really cold, it should be easy to move. So, yeah, it says this is the Squall 123R with a four-cycle engine. It was bought in 2017 for $360. It's a single stage for two-car wide, two-car long driveways. About what I use it for, because I don't do the back. Clear a 21-inch width, an ideal for 6-inch snowfall. 123cc, 4-cycle overhead valve.
Shoo-bee.
Yeah, it works pretty good. Probably real similar to what you got.
Yeah, I got the nice little augers that chop things up and, put it through, but yeah, I tell you, it collects snow, though. You gotta stop every once in a while, and you gotta get out the little helper shovel and clear stuff sometimes.
Yeah, it's kind of funny, because this was Don's, and, you know, the son told me, he goes, yeah, we're getting rid of all that stuff. He goes, you can have it. I said, okay, great. And then I get a call a couple of weeks, I don't know if I told you the story or not, from the daughter of his girlfriend. She says, I think you got my mom's snowblower. And I says, no, that was taken by her girlfriend. You know, that was the big dual stage one. And no, I think you got it. You know, it was orange. I go, no, this one's red. I go, but, well, you know, I think that was my mom's. And I go, okay, well, I'll tell you what, if you do, you know, if you think that's the one, I go, bring the other one, and well, I'll swap you. And they, I can't because somebody else took that. And I go, well, I'm afraid that's the one that, you know, and then I found everything. I found all the books, the manuals. I found, you know, where Don bought it and all that stuff, and his son gave it to me. It was the only thing I got. And it's like, yeah. No, sorry, I definitely confirmed it wasn't the one that your mom bought. So this is definitely the one that Don bought and his son gave it to me.
Yeah, I was like, nice try. But I don't know how cheap you want to be on a, you know, go get a snowblower. I mean, obviously all that stuff was cleared out. Unless, did the mom want it or something? I don't understand. Well, anyways, you don't have to explain. But, yeah, it's weird what people, like, all of a sudden I want what you know, we didn't want to help clean up the place, but now we want the stuff that was there.
Well, I told him I wasn't interested in anything at all, and, you know, and the only thing that I was even going to take any, you know, spend any time on was the radio gear, because, you know, he didn't know, so, you know, he had me figuring it out, and, well, you know the whole story on that, and then, you know, then all of a sudden I noticed, you know, these extended, you know, family of the girlfriend, you know, and you know, I hate saying that, because Catherine was great, I love Catherine, and, you know, so it was... It was like her niece and nephew are coming by, and they're like just carting stuff off in the out of the garage. And you know, I asked the aunt or the sister, and his boy's, you know, aunt. So what's going on with that? And they go, oh yeah, he doesn't want any of it. He just told them to take anything they want. You know, he just wants it all gone. I'm like, well, hold on. I go, I've come over here. And I fix a flood. You know, I take care of a flood in the basement, and some pipes, and this other stuff and everything like that. I don't want to really want anything, but if you said all the lawn and garden stuff was just taken, it's off limits. I go, well, hell, you know, I've had groups of people by here helping all that stuff. I go, I'd like to know about that. And they go, like, for instance, that snowblower right there. Yeah, you know, take it. You know, it's like, you know, so I'm like, okay, I will. But, yeah, they just kind of like, they're just showing up looting the place. And I'm like, you know, what's up with that? So that was the only thing I kind of like jokingly said. I go, well, I mean, I'd take that. And, next thing you know, I own it. So, yeah, he was like, yeah, I just want to get everything out of there. Just get it out of there because they're going to call somebody in and it's all going in a dumpster. I'm like, God almighty.
Yeah, to be honest, I might even be the same way. I mean, he probably just has a lot going on and just can't deal with it. It's like, just like, I don't know about it, so just get rid of it. I don't, you know. But, yeah, and he lives across country and all that, so. All right, we're here at Costco. I'm still parked in the overfill lot, but there's not as many cars in the overfill lot, so yay. So I will talk to you later. KF8F, so this is an out.
Oh, yeah, no big deal in the end. But, you know, like I said, if he'd have said that, I said, you know, do you want me to take care of, you know, doing, I could have done a little, you know, not a estate sale, but I could have done a little open house thing where people could have come through and collected up some money for him or something like that. He didn't have to just bail on it. So, whatever, you know, but it is what it is. There wasn't really a whole lot. You know, there was a lot of just miscellaneous lawn and garden stuff. Might have been a good lawnmower. Another, there was another snowblower of some kind that didn't pay attention, so... Anyhow, so in the end, not a big deal. All right, stay safe, watch out for the snow. W8FU.
W8FU in AWJL.
WA, we just listening from W8 Fancy Underpants. How you doing, Jay?
I don't know. You know, I sleep, I mean, you know, being retired, I sleep in and everything, and I just having to take a look outside, and doggone it, I mean, I just blew my, used my snowblower the other day, and doggone it, it's all just like I ain't did nothing. Did you go to the restaurant today?
I sure did. I mean, I get why you might not have made it today, but we haven't seen you in a long time. You gotta remember 8:30 every Saturday. So look forward to you stopping in sometime.
I don't feel good this morning, you know, but it's breaking my heart that when I go there I won't see John. It just breaks my heart, man.
Nope, we've lost a couple of icons, you know, Walt and Don and, you know, so it's the cycle of life, right? They were particularly prolific ham radio operators, so that makes it even more, punctuated, so. But again, they had their ride and they impacted. They had a lot of impact on a lot of people's lives. So neither one will be forgotten anytime soon.
Yeah. Well, I had to get back over there, but like I said, that's one reason why, you know, I just think about when I used to go over there. I know that he's normally going to be there. All the time I go there, he's there. So that's what I'm going to miss him, that's for sure. We can talk, me and him can talk about anything, everything, man. We go down to 6 meters, he can go anywhere, I can go, well, he can go anywhere I go, so that's the way it goes. But all right, John, I'm going to jump on out of here and get myself going here, because before you know it, I'm going to have to get out of here and blow some snow. 73 from now, this is November 8th, we're just leaving.
All right, Jay, sounds good. Well, I'm almost always there, and Phil is almost always there. I don't know who else you would know that is regular, but, you know, come on down. Give a call, on the radio beforehand, and I can let you know who's there or whatnot. But you're always welcome. The group would always welcome you, no matter who's there. So, all right, catch you later. Don't be too crazy with the snow. I don't think it's going to be too heavy or anything, but watch yourself. And I'm going to wait till after 3 when it starts. I got about an inch here now, a little more maybe, and it's going to supposed to start after 3, so I'm going to probably wait till a little later, go out there and knock it down. Catch you later. N8WJL from W8FU.
Hey, Roger, before you go, Sean, was Leonard there?
KD88FK? Len, yes.
Okay, good enough. All right, 73s, have a good day. N8WJL.
Yeah, Len and John, why John, I usually make it. I think you've talked to both of them. I'm trying to think of some of the other folks that you would talk to. I know you talked to John HTV. He came today, but that's not a regular thing, so I don't know if that will be or not. It was the first time in a long time for him. Jim, IW, I don't know if you talk to him regularly. He makes it often. I just don't know who else you might know, but there's plenty of people you'd know. All right. We'll look forward to seeing you there. W8FU.
Yeah, Roger. I know Jim and all of them. W-I-A-W. That's Jim. I've known him. I know all of them. I just kind of wonder who was there. That's all. All right. Have a good day. N-A-W-J.
Good afternoon, Sean. W8RCY. Just waving a hand. And I hear you're out on the road, so I think the roads aren't too bad, or what are they like?
Oh, no, I'm not out on the road. I went to breakfast and then came home. Going there wasn't terrible, but I was really late. I woke up really late. It was like 8:20. I'm like, holy crap, and I just ran out to the car and ran up there real quick. And coming home, though, it had snowed a bit while we were in there, and it was quite slip-slidey when we left, and I haven't been out since. I may or may not make a run, but I have nowhere I really need to go or do anything I need to do, so I'm going to just hanker down here and hunker down here. And debate when I'm going to go out and do the snow, but that's about it. So I think they're a little better now than they were, but they're still a little slip-slidey. I would just say be careful from what I've been hearing. But I am not out in it.
Okay, copy that. And I heard that you were talking there with Jay and, that you made it and everything like that, because a bunch of us were talking this morning, and, we're leaving space for you to jump in and say hello And the space is getting longer, and the space is getting longer, and I'm thinking to myself, did we miss Sean? Is, you know, it's like, Sean already there, or did he, like, oversleep or what? Now we got the truth that you overslept. But, yeah, we were worried about you, and, you know, we were going to call out to you, but, you know, it's all good. I mean, glad you made it over there and everything like that, and the guys were there. It sounds like you guys had a good turnout, so. Okie dokie. I just, like I said, I just wanted to pop in and say hi and check on the roads. Have a good afternoon. Stay hunkered down, like I say. I'm looking at the map, though, but the map looks like everything's right now tracking north of us, and we may not get hit as hard the way I'm looking at the radar right now, and I'm watching National Weather Service radar, nothing local, so who knows. All right, you take care. W8RCY, we're clear for now.
Yeah, we'll see on that. Yeah, I had my alarm set for like 7, and instead of just hitting the snooze 3 times, I tried to set the alarm for, I tried to change it to 7:30, and so I says, you know what, I just I don't want to snooze for 3 times, I just want to sleep an extra half hour, and I must have done something wrong, because when I opened my eyes, it was 8:30, I'm like, yikes. So anyhow, I overslept, I have no idea what happened, but I was trying to set an alarm half asleep, so that probably is exactly what happened. All right, catch you a little later. I'll be around listening, all that other good stuff. W8FU.
Copy that. We'll be listening and monitoring frequencies, both sides. W8RCY.
NAKPP. NHKPP Mobile.
Did I hear Dakota?
What's up, Greg? I feel like I haven't talked to you in forever, man. How are you?
I am good. Got my first round of snow shoveling done. Pretty hunkered down here, playing a little bit with my SDR and doing a little bit of FT8. And that's about it. What you got going on?
Good day for radio when the weather's this bad. I am unfortunately driving out to Livonia right now. I got a banquet I got invited to probably about 6 weeks ago, so I had no idea that it was going to be a snowstorm. But making my way out there and going to go hang out for a bit, buy some raffle tickets, and then make my way back home.
Oh, boy. All right. Yeah, that didn't line up on a good weather day. I'm assuming they're working on the roads, and I'm not sure what they are like at all. I haven't been out. And then we've got another whole bunch of stuff coming yet, so I'm not sure the timing on that.
You know, as long as it stays above 32, it's 31 right now, according to my truck. As long as it doesn't freeze, I think it'll be all right. The further south I get on 53, the better the road seems to get. There's obviously some drifting and some flushing, but I think a couple more passes with a plow truck and we'll be good.
All right, very good. Well, hopefully that second wave comes after you make your way home.
Yep, I'm hoping so. I wanted to ask you a question, too, because I know you've got 130-foot wire in your yard. You've got part of that, like, sloping down, right?
Yeah, kind of. It starts at my roof line, goes up maybe 10 feet to the first tree at the back of the yard, and then it goes up maybe another 10 or 20 feet, probably 20 feet, so that's the biggest slope and the longest run of it across the yard. So that's 30 feet high or 40-ish, just under 40, I guess. and then it slopes back down from that high point, the highest point there, to the roof line again at the house.
All right, that makes me feel better. You're living proof that it doesn't need to be a symmetrical, you know, nice slope, because I strapped my spider beam 12 meters to my kid's playset because the farmer cut down all the damn trees, and I ended up just pretty much putting a loop on the top of that, keeping the top three sections collapsed, so it's, I don't know, 25, 30 feet up. And then I have the other end with the insulator staked in, you know, on the other side of it. So it's like a, not really an inverted V, it's kind of like an L, I guess. And I was just wondering how people do it. And I remember yours was kind of all over your yard, too, and you obviously don't have issues, so I should be good then.
Yeah, people have it all kind of different ways, and I do believe you should be good. Before I had it coming back to the house, it just went up to that high point across the yard and then back down, and I had to actually flip back the last 15 feet of it, like almost back on itself. Not quite, but and that worked as well, but this way works better. So if you got two long legs, I think you'd be fine, you know, in an L shape. And I do extremely well with mine. I've got zero complaints. So, yeah, I think you're in good shape there.
All right, good. Yeah, my first contact, I got a 5.9, but, you know, that doesn't necessarily mean anything. And now it's on an 8.91. I don't know if I told you or you were, but I exchanged the 7.10. I got the 8.91 just because of how I plan on operating and depth and space and all that fun stuff. And so far, super happy with it. But I jumped on this morning, and I didn't hear a whole lot on 40 or 20, so I'm like, God, is my antenna? Like, what's going on? So I just figured I'd take your brain.
Yeah, you're getting a little popcorn-y there. I don't know if you're on the best repeater at the moment. But anyway, yeah, the bands are a little weird today, but when you get a chance, and I know it might be harder with that radio to set it up for FT8, but it's really easy to get the PSK reporter and see what it's actually doing. You might need, I don't know if that's got a sound card in it or not, you might want to need one of those digi whatever thingies. But anyway, very good. Yeah, today wasn't the best day for like you said, the bands. So you know how that goes, though. You'll do great one day and not so good the next.
Sorry about that. I was still on Richmond, and I'm at 23 Mile. It does not have a sound card, but I do plan on. They just came out with, like, I think it's the DR-891. It's a digirig specifically for that radio. But I've got some plans for that rig, so I'll be able to do everything with it. It's just not going to be as snazzy as the 710. But that's a good idea. I'll have to order one of those and just see what's going where.
All right, very good. Yeah, that's not a bad way to go. I'm actually thinking about getting a pan adapter for my Elecraft. So I have, like, separate all kind of everything. I'm deciding between that and selling it and getting a 710. So I don't know, because that 710 checks pretty much all the boxes, except it's kind of big, but whatever. So yeah, that's what we do, I guess.
No complaints about the 710. It was an awesome radio, is an awesome radio. It just, A, was too big for me to want to take out of the house to operate portable, and B, it took up a lot of room on my desk, and I didn't really operate a whole lot at my from home. I did FD8 a little bit, but this 891 slips under my laptop stand, so it's like it doesn't even exist, and then I can disconnect it real quick and throw it in a bag and go. So, but yeah, the 710, I mean, got to probably going to save you or put a bunch of money back in your pocket if you sell the Elecraft and go that route, right?
Yeah, I will likely come out ahead. So I haven't done anything yet, but that's something that's been banging around in my head. So we'll see. Because, I mean, I've got the radio, and I've got an external amp, which, I'm able to tune my antenna with that Chili Dog antenna manually. So I don't have an external tuner. The internal tuner on the Elecraft works fantastic, but not as soon as you put an amp on it, it doesn't, you know. So And then if I get a pan adapter, it's just a lot of pieces that go together, and I have options. I can go, you know, QRP all the way up to a full-blown radio. But if I get the 710, it's got everything. So I don't know. Well, that's my thinking on it anyway. And it would stay in the car. I mean, it wouldn't be in and out. So I have that difference from you as well.
Well, there you go. I like the idea of modularity and being able to pick and choose what I'm using and how I operate, but at the same time, convenience is a big deal. And keep an eye on DXC. You'll probably see my open box on there for a pretty hefty discount. I've put a tempered glass screen protector as soon as I took the plastic off of it, so it's literally brand new, and I don't know what they're going to list it for.
Hey, Greg, Elecraft is a QRP rig, right?
All right, Dakota, yeah, I'll check that out, see if they do that. And Sean, I didn't quite catch your question about my radio.
That Elecraft is a QRP radio, right?
Yeah, it does 15 watts on some bands, 12 on others, and 10 on others. So, I consider it a QRP radio.
Yeah, and that's what I meant. Well, the reason I say is you got that amp and everything, and, the 710 is a killer radio, there's no question. But I'd be inclined to kind of wait and see what that new ICOM or that new Yaesu offering is that's supposed to give the 705 a run for its money. Just saying, I might hold off a little bit before I did anything. I mean, you got the amp. So, I don't know. I haven't heard much news on it since they introduced it. Anyhow, good afternoon. Dakota, what's up?
Yeah, Sean, that's a good point. I've been following it. One second here. I got to mute it. So I've been paying attention, but not really, and I have not seen anything. I don't even know what it's going to look like. I think there was a couple leaked images, but, I'm curious what that FT1DX or whatever the hell is going to come out like. I'm concerned that it's going to be a 1999 radio, but I don't know. I guess we'll see. Greg?
Well, I wasn't aware of this, so all right, I'm glad you mentioned that, Sean. I will definitely hold off for a little bit. And then I saw something the other day about a Kenwood new radio from them with very little details, and I kind of poked around for a minute, couldn't find anything, and forgot about it. So I'm wondering if you heard anything on that as well. Sean?
Yeah, I saw that one. That one looks pretty intriguing. But I think it's only VHF 220 and UHF, which is very cool, but it's kind of like 705 / FT1 or whatever they're going to call it size, but it's basically a VHF UHF rig. I don't know. I don't think it's all mode. I think it's just an FM rig. I think it's their new FM mobile. Dakota, take note. Might be right up your alley, but it looks kind of chunky. So I don't know much about it. I just saw it the other day. And, the Kenwoods are usually stellar, so there is that. But that one's kind of a new announcement as well. But I just, if I were looking to, I know you got the 70610 as your primary, and you like that, rightfully so. And then the Elecraft fills a particular role for you. And, I'd be really, really looking at that Yaesu. To see if anything, knowing them, they're going to have a amp that's going to slap right on the back of the silly thing and make it a 50 or 100 watt rig. I knowing them, so but how long are you going to wait, right? That's the thing.
Yeah, it's something something 750. I think I saw a picture of it too. They finally named it, but I agree, it looks huge, and I don't know how that translates into real life, because they said that the 500 was huge, right? And I think it's a decent-sized head unit, but I don't think it's obnoxious like the 5100. But, trust me, if that thing's reasonable, I will probably get rid of the 500 to put that in the truck. But, Greg, I'm kind of with Sean. You've got two killer setups. I mean, or just wait for the 710 to go on sale for $700 again and have all three.
I may end up doing that, but I'll bet you one way or another, one of them will start collecting dust, and then I would want to sell it. So that might be the route I go. But I'm going to take a look a little further into this issue and see what it is. And you're right, Sean, if they got an amp that slaps on it. Because the amp I got for the Elecraft is the cheapest, dirtiest thing I could find. I mean, it's well-built. It's homemade. Not homemade, but kind of. It's all one-man operation, but boy, does he do good work. And but it is what it is. It's a cheap amp, you know. And fortunately, I only use the Chili Dog with it, and or a ham stick, and I can you know, manually tune, so I don't need a tuner. so there you go.
Well, keep in mind when I say they'll probably have an amp that slaps on the back, that's pure speculation. The radio's not even out yet, so, you know. But I know how they usually operate, and that wouldn't surprise me one iota. But it's pretty cool. It's two receivers, so it really, you know, it's got the spectrum display and all that. It's a pretty cool little radio. You know, it's kind of the 705 killer is what it is. You know, I like my 705. I'm completely happy with it. It does everything I need. And it would be something like that would move me in the direction of that, would be a built-in amp. But I wish I could find a way to get my 705 up to about 50 watts with no intervention, because then I could run my ALS-500M in the car, and I could drive it to full output. And it's all automatic with the ICOM, but I have to get from 10 to about 35 to 50 to drive that amp to, you know, so I don't know. I mean, I guess I could get a broadband amp and put it in there and hope that the filtering and the input and output filtering in the HF amp, the LLS-500M, you know, cleans it up, but I don't know. I just, you know, it starts to get pretty crazy, but I'd love to have that 705 mobile. Just 10 watts ain't going to cut it. And, hell, I was trying to get up in the 500-watt class out of the mobile or better, not go backwards. But that's me. I'm a hot dog for, like you guys are for the POTA stuff, I'm a hot dog for the mobile stuff. Dakota?
NADBS. I still think it's hilarious that you donned the Shelligan 750, the Chili Dog, and it still goes by the Chili Dog. Yeah, I would like to see a 705 refresh. I love that radio, but again, the 10 watts on battery or external power was definitely a limiting factor. Just when I had that and an 891, I took them both out for a couple activations, and it's like, it's not even a comparison going from 10 watts and then jumping over. I only ran the 891 at like 50 or 60 watts, and it was night and day. So I agree. If they refreshed that or came out with a way to bump the power on it, I'd be all over it, because it does everything, in my opinion, that you could ever want a radio to do. Greg?
Yep, agreed on that. Fine radio, and it was something I was definitely looking at in the beginning, but the power was the issue there. If they could make an amp for it, I know there's, you know, like KZ Dave uses the Zygu amp for HF, and that's fine, but then you still got the UHF, VHF, that's will be a little lower power too. So I don't know. If there's one amp that could do it all, I don't know. But as is, that's the limiting factor, but just there's such a coolness about the whole thing. It's a great radio.
Yeah, the, you know, power, you know, right now, yeah, that's Chili Dog. I couldn't say Chili Amps or whatever the hell it was. I didn't want to, so that came up, Chili Dog. But anyhow, you know, 10 watts, QRP, that's great stuff. CW, FT8, you know, things like that, when you're considering trying to get, you know, battery power and solar and doing summits and things like that. You know, sure, that makes all a lot of sense, but if you're just sitting in the middle of a park where you have, you know, you're bringing out your big lead acid or your gel cells or whatever, your lipos, and
you've got, you know, you don't need to have that, you know, it just, there's no need for you to run compromise like that, unless you just want to see if you can. There is a sport of QRP all in and of itself, but if you're not looking to enjoy the sport of QRP, so to speak, then, you know, you're just kind of like frustrating yourself. CW and FTA aside, because those modes can be quite effective in that. You know, and then you know what? It is a way to test your antenna skills. You know, you've got really good antenna skills, especially, you know, portable skills, getting wires up in the air. A QRP route can really be a testament to how good your antenna skills are. But, you know, when you start, you know, compromising with verticals because they're easy and stuff, you know, now you're really giving yourself a hole to dig out of to be enjoyable. And where I was going with this is, and right now it's as good as it gets. You give it a couple of years, and you're going to be sitting out in that park going, why are you even bothering? Because 10 watts ain't going to get you nothing in a few years, because 10 ain't going to be opening. 15, 20, 12, 17, you might get over. You'll be happy to have an opening on 20. 20 is going to be your money band. You know, 40 and 80 will remain, hot. But there'll be times where you'll never see anything open above 20. And, there'll even be times where 20 won't open. But, it'll be, you could forget, 10, 12, 7, 15, and all that. You can just forget those in a few years. And those are the easy bands. Those are the bands that the antennas are easy. You know, you don't need a lot of power. Right now you can enjoy the hell out of them. Get while the getting is good. But, yeah, that 10 watts just frustrate the hell out of you more than even now. Anyhow, soapbox off. Dakota?
That's been my irrational paranoia when I was shopping for rigs again. It's like, I don't want a QRP rig knowing that we're going to be on the downturn of the solar cycle, and just even when things are good, like sometimes QRP is not good, you're getting stepped on or, you know, all kinds of different things. And like you said, QRP is a sport. It's fun. It's a great time, especially when it's working well. But, so is making 100 contacts on an activation on phone. So that's what kind of pushed me back into the 891. It's the only radio out there right now that you can buy new that's 100 watts and that small, and I'm with you. I love QRP, but I think in the next couple of years, if things are going to progressively get worse, then I don't want to mess with 10 watts. I want the 50 watts or the 100 watts in my arsenal in case I need it.
Yep, agreed. You both nailed all the points on it, and I get it. But, I like the QRP aspect of what I do. And then I only break the amp out if it is kind of a challenging day, so I have that option. but in the end, a 710 or something similar, I could always turn it down. But, realistically, I don't know. The Summit stuff or anything more portable than I actually do in a park, I don't see myself ever doing. So that part of it's not an issue for me.
Okay, I'll leave a little room in there. There's other people interested in the topic or have something to add. But what do you mean, Greg? I thought you were going to be getting some mountain gear and doing the North Face. I thought that was like a bucket list thing for you in your retirement. Do a little summits on the air. Man, I'll tell you what, that would be interesting. Of course, you got the QRP to deal with, and you got, very compromised antennas, because, you ain't going to be lugging a lot. It's got to be really, really easy wires. But you are a long ways up, so that does help.
I've always been fascinated. I don't know if anyone's going anywhere, but 696 at 11 mile, looks like there's a nasty accident, and they have it shut down. FYI. But yeah, the soda stuff's sweet. Just we don't have A, mountains in Michigan, and B, it's not really my forte is climbing things. So, speaking of slapping stuff on the back of a Yaesu, Sean, keep an eye out for a tuner for that 891 if you don't mind. I'm sure they're a dime a dozen because that radio's been around forever. But I realized when I was looking at different antennas for the house that I kind of shot myself in the foot by getting rid of the 710 because I don't have a tuner now. So I'm going to build a little bit of a kit around that, kind of like what Greg did with his Ellencraft.
Okay, Sean. Yeah, I'll attempt the summit when you get your pilot's license and learn how to fly the rescue helicopter, because I'll need it. But and I do have that. I think it's called the AX-1. It's also made by Elcraft, that little antenna. It does 20, 40, and I think 15 or 17 meters. And boy, is that thing small. I mean, it fits in a Ziploc bag. I've set it up both at a park and at home at my dining room and out on my patio, and it works great. I mean, just that little radio at, you know, 10 to 15 watts and that little antenna. If I was younger, had I gotten into this a lot, you know, a couple decades ago, I probably would have done something like that, it's just not in the cards right now.
Well, I don't think we got anything to worry about, because I ain't helicoptering to rescue you. I ain't going up in a helicopter, so you're not climbing, so I guess we're safe. But, I'll keep an eye. Are you thinking about something like an LBG, like one of the little flat pack LBGs, or are you thinking about something more specific? I don't know if the 891 will have anything specific to it. I don't know. But, you know, certainly LDG, I'm sure, and others make something. I've got an LDG. I think it's an MFJ version of an LDG, and I find it completely adequate. It works very well. I've got a TS-480 that I can completely remote and control over the Internet, and I've got a MFJ kind of LDG knockoff, little flat pack tuner that goes with it, and that along with a one of them ZS6 BKW modified G5RVs will put me anywhere I need to go, and it works pretty damn well. I've always been meaning to deploy it. I just need to find somebody out in an area, you know, that I'd want to deploy it to that'll let me. But it is an idea. Hey Dakota, I got some towers. We can put one up on your property, and I could deploy my Kenwood there, and then I'd have it when you're not operating there.
I'm not even the slightest bit opposed to that. So if you want to talk, we can talk. I got no problem doing that. And I believe, I'm not positive, but I'm pretty sure that Yaesu made a tuner specifically for this 891. And it may have been compatible with the 817, 818. So I'm not positive. I'll have to look up the model number. But I've seen a lot of guys running it with it. It, like, straps to the top of the 891. So I'll have to find a model. But I'm pretty positive they made one specifically for this radio. And I forgot, Greg, yeah, Sean doesn't fly. Over to you.
I didn't know that, but same kind of deal. In either case, from both aspects of it, we are safe. So I didn't know there was a tuner for the 891. That'd be cool if you could find that. I would want to go that route myself. But if not, there's a plethora of tuners that'll work for you.
Yeah, it's the FC50. And it looks like a flat pack style, it looks like the 891, which it's got spots, it sits right on top of it and locks in. There's some mounting brackets, so it's the same exact width and it looks like depth as the 891. And there is one. That's the one you want.
I'm all for the OEM to OEM if it makes things easier. I don't know, though. Does that power off the radio, or is that external power?
Looks like, antenna goes out of your radio into it, and you're out, then you're... Antenna hooks up to the tuner, and there's a control cable. That's it. No power. It gets powered apparently off of the radio. It looks to be the same width, the same depth as the radio, but it's a little bit. It's not quite as tall, and the radio is designed to sit right on top of it. Quite a handsome little package.
Sorry, I'm in the tunnels on 696. Sounds like that's the one then. Go ahead, Greg.
I call pass.
I posted a picture of it, sitting, an 891 sitting on top of one over in the Adventures in HF channel. So you can look it up. It looks like they're getting like $329 for it. If you buy it new from your buddies. So I'll keep an eye for one that's out there on the market. I've never honestly looked for one, so I have no idea, you know, whether there's deals to be had or whether they pop up out there. But that radio's priced pretty aggressively, $629, eh?
Yeah, let me know if you find anything. If not, you know, that price isn't great, but it's also not terrible, especially for an OEM, you know, specific tuner for that model radio. But yeah, I mean, you know, I called DXZ and asked them if there was anything they could do with my 500, and they asked what was going on, and yada yada, and he's like, well, you got another Yaesu radio, you must not be that mad. I'm like, there is nothing on the market like the 891. It's $600, it's 100 watts, it's all mode, like, it's, or all, you know, 50 to 50 HF. So it's like, it's a sweet little rig. It does everything, and it's tiny.
Yeah, you say you have one. Well, Greg, did you come back? I'm sorry. Hey, did you say you've got one incoming? No, I just went to R&L. I like R&L. I go there because sometimes they have quite a bit of savings over the big dogs, and they've got the FC50 in stock, $284.95 free shipping. So that's pretty significant savings. That's, you know, $45 in free shipping.
I have my 891. I exchanged the 710, so that's how I had that conversation with DXC. But yeah, 284, that's, I mean, under that $300 threshold, because, I mean, even a desktop MFJ is, what, $200? So that's not terrible, especially since it says Yaesu on it. Everything that's name brand costs more.
Yeah, I don't know what the FC50 is rated for. You know, obviously 100 watts. I don't know how much more than that it could do, but looking at the most economical option besides that, at the same location, looks like you'd be looking at an LDG Z100, and it looks like that sets you back about 175, 185, so you're talking about $100 premium to get the Yaesu over that. And there's the ICOM AH705, $354.95.
Yeah, that ICOM tax is no joke. I looked at, when I had the 705, I looked at their tuners, but I ended up on the Matt Z, which I was a huge fan of. That was a sweet tuner. And then I fell in love with resonant antennas and never looked back, so... oh, someone just went off the ditch and smoked the wall on 696.
Now, here's an Yaesu FC30. That's a bolt-on antenna tuner for the, 897. Okay, that's for a different radio. Never mind.
Am I coming in okay over here?
Oh yeah, sounding great. Which one you on?
Receive was getting a little ugly, so I just switched over to Phil's machine, the 442-500.
Okay, yeah, it should carry you all the way where you're going. It's working pretty good right now. He's got a preamp on it. He didn't suffer at all. Sometimes when you put a preamp on a repeater, it boogers things up, but it seems to be working pretty well, and then the transmitter is pretty stout, so... Be curious to see. You're going to Livonia, I think I heard you say.
Yeah, I got a banquet. put out there, some 6 miles from 275, then I got to shoot that down. But I did not catch your transmission before I switched repeaters. You said something after I said the eye contacts.
Oh, I was just perusing the RNL website, and I saw this FC-30, and I went, oh, wait a minute, here's an FC-30. And then I read, and I said, oh, no, that's for the 897. So never mind.
Got it. Okay. But, yeah, I mean, I'm going to probably end up spending more than I did on the 710, but it'll be similar to Greg's situation where he's got, you know, a modular kit. I do want to put it in a cage and throw it in a backpack and then just have everything mounted to it, but I guess it'll depend on which tuner I land on. But, yeah, I don't know, other than the Chinese radios, I don't think there's another HF rig out there for $600.
Not to derail the conversation, but I posted in the city Facebook group, is removing snow from your driveway and sidewalk subject to the city noise ordinance? Seems like a simple question. My God, these people, they're losing their minds. Like, I don't know why I bothered.
I think that's a perfectly valid question.
I agree. I would go ahead and do it anyway, and worst case, if somebody calls, any decent officer would just say, hey, somebody called, can you wait till 7 a.m. or whatever. But I don't know. I imagine, I mean, the one law is, you know, it's there. Just because you're running a snowblower, you know, I mean, the neighbors can't start roofing before 7 a.m. in the summer, so that kind of thing.
But, I mean, it's a simple question. It's very valid. I just said, is removing snow from your driveway subject to the city noise ordinance? It's a very simple question. No, they're exempt. Yes, they are. But no, no. You know, this one guy says, well, maybe if you're doing it at 4 a.m., so is it or isn't it? The next guy, oh, that's still fine. You quit being so entitled. You know, and another guy posts, you know, hilarious that you know, I'm, you know, that I'm asking this, and I'm like, oh, my God. It's like a simple question. Yes or no?
The problem is on social media, even if it is a formal group like for the city, everyone thinks everyone's being facetious, so they're probably things are being an ass, so they're going to be an ass, and then here you go. You get a thread that has no useful information in it.
KE8 VSI, yeah, I agree. Facebook anymore is just mostly stupidity. I don't put credence in anything, and you got to be real careful if you ever post anything. You have to expect that kind of nonsense. So I usually, if I got a question like that, I'll throw it out here before there. But you're right, you should be able to just ask and see, and you'll get different opinions. That's okay, but to get bickering going, man, people will bicker over anything.
This person here, what? Question mark, exclamation mark. You're being vague. Snowblower, shovel, time of day, what are the details? Obviously, between the hours of 10 and 8, when the ordinance applies, I'm making noise. So let's just settle on that.
I would just follow up with, is it acceptable to snowblow my driveway at 4 a.m. in a Speedo?
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, it's pretty obvious you're talking about something that makes noise if you're asking about the noise laws being exempt for that. I mean, then he throws that out there. It's like he's got nothing better to do but troll, and that's all it is. And those people, I immediately lose my respect, even if they start coming up with qualified responses and answers. It's like, you know what? No, you're an idiot. Go away.
The one that says, you're being vague. Snowblower, shovel, I'll just say, no, I'm going to do it really, really quiet so no one can hear it.
I'm surprised no one threw in, do you have an electric snowblower question?
Yeah, does bring to mind my snowblower because it's electric and it's nowhere near as loud. It makes noise, but it's not as loud as my neighbor's gas one. So I personally, it was not this time, but the last snow, I was out there at like 5:36 in the morning. I didn't care. And honestly, when I had my gas one, I did the same thing. And if I doubt anybody would call, but if they did and I got a visit from an officer, I would simply comply. And hopefully he didn't write me a ticket on the first call I got. But if he did, that would be kind of a bummer. But that's the way I would deal with it.
Well, I'm not too worried about it. I just, like I said, it just patched me up. I just joined this city Facebook group, and you know, it's like got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 people have responded to it, and not a single answer to the question.
It's not just you. It's I'm in the Elmont Township one, and it's the same thing. It's just as bad. People are just as stupid. I saw a picture. They posted a possum, and it was just hanging out during the day. And then, you know, you get all the moron Karens. It's got rabies. And then you got everyone else. It's like, just go move it. And then I saw another one. Oh, what the hell was it this morning? Anyway, same principle, just people asking valid questions, getting retarded responses.
Yeah, it's rampant in almost every group. Yeah, that's why, I don't know. I filter through and I read what's useful information to me in my area or my hobbies or whatever, and I pretty much disregard everything else because there's a lot of just people that must be bored or angry or whatever. To me, it's an awful platform these days.
I don't know, the eggplant in me wants to write a scathing response to some of these people. The why do I care person just says, you know what, I don't even know why I bothered. So I'm not going to, but oh, I'd love to.
Greg, even the groups I'm in that are specific to my hobbies, like I had to leave, I don't know, pretty much every ham radio group I was in because it's just like everyone just bickers and argues, and it's just like, oh my God, why does this group exist? Is it like so everyone can have common interests and then argue about it? And Sean, good choice. As soon as you give them any attention, their snarky comments, it never ends.
Yeah, agreed. Even in specific topics, you get those folks. But if I don't personally have, you know, anything written or inquired, it's easy to just rip through it all and weed out everything that's not useful to me. But yeah, it's still there for sure. And Sean, I hear you. I don't know how many times I really want to just come back with some whatever, to put them in their place kind of thing, or let them know how I feel. And I've done it, but in the end, nothing good ever comes of it, and usually it gets worse. So I more and more lean toward to just let it go, even though you're kind of clenching your fist kind of thing. I do that myself.
Yeah, finally, this guy comes in here and says, the too long don't read answer is don't worry about it. The second one is, he said, so the noise ordinance prohibits excessive nuisance or noise before 8 and after 10. However, since you have to, or should be, shoveling snow before work in the morning, it's not very likely the city would come to enforce a fine. Well, see, not very likely, doesn't say is or isn't. And then he gets it, whether they are scraping the concrete with a shovel or running their gas or electric snowblower. It's not really a nuisance as you're required to do it. Yeah, they do say that. You have to have it cleared within 12 hours. So let's say I got to go to work on a 12-hour shift and I wake up and I've got a foot of snow. So I actually have to do it, you know, under the ordinance. So that'd be a conflicting ordinance, wouldn't it?
There you go. You got someone with a brain to reply. Yeah, and, you know, you work with them on a regular basis. You'd have to have a really, really bad cop to come and enforce, you know, even if it wasn't required, you'd have to have a really bad cop to come and write you a ticket on the first go for being like, hey, dude, it's 6:30. Quit running your snowblower.
Yeah, KKBSI. Yeah, if push came to shove, it would have to really get down to the nitty-gritty. If you're working a 12-hour shift, and you have to do it, because they could also come back and say, well, if you're not able, because of your job, to timely do it, then make arrangements to have it done kind of thing. And, it, you know, you can expand that out to whatever. And I've been at parties, on a second note here, you know, 3, 4 in the morning where the neighbors have called about music, and definitely out of hand, loud-wise, for that hour, and being outside in a backyard, and the cops would come, and always, every time, was a warning first. If we come back, you're getting a ticket, which wasn't cheap. So if in that situation they gave a warning first, all you have to do is turn it down or off and say, thank you, I'm sorry, and you're done. so you get a warning for a party, you know, at 3 in the morning. So I'm sure you'll get a warning if it came to it. For that silly of a thing, if somebody called.
Well, the only reason it even came up is I saw a video where a guy was shoveling, actually. That's why I didn't say snowblowing, because he's out there, you know, scrape, whack, 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 you know, and, you know, it was making normal noise, nothing unusual, and his neighbor, you know, screamed out the window, you know, and it was hilarious. I'd post it, but it's Facebook video, so if I could find a way to post it without violating the no Facebook stuff, I'd put it over there in the Telegram, but it was pretty funny, and that's what got me thinking about it. I live, you know, my neighbors are so far from me, and they aren't going to care. You know, it's pretty quiet down here, and I can run that little snowblower I got, and I'm sure nobody really cares. I'm not worried about it here, but this video I saw made me wonder about it nonetheless, because the other day I didn't want to go to work before I got rid of the snow. I didn't want to be driving over it, right? And so I thought, you know, it just got me my wheels turning, and, you know, I was thinking, I wonder if, you know, you could go out there at 4 a.m. if you got to leave for work at 5. You know, could you go out there at 4 and, you know, do the snow? And it's like, you know, I guess, right? You know? You know, there becomes a kind of like, you know, should you? You know, I guess, you know, you'd have to think about it. I suppose if your neighbor's bedroom window is, you know, and you've got a real tight little driveway right underneath their window, and, you know, you're doing it at 4 a.m., you might want to see if there's any other way you could get around doing it. You know, if you have to, you have to. But, you know, so I'm sure circumstances come into play as well. But if you had to, you know, it wouldn't really matter. You know, just got to get it done.
Yep, I agree. My similar situation when I lived in Armada, it was, you know, I'd cut my grass at like 8 a.m. or 7:30, and neighbors weren't happy about it, but you got to get it done, because I always had things to do. But I am finally here. I recommend staying home. I saw plenty of fun vehicles in the ditches, so maybe I'll catch you guys on the way out of here. If not, thanks for accompanying me on the ride here, and I'll talk to you guys later. So have a good night, and 73NA DDM.
All right. You're making a real good trip, whether it's to Phil's Machine or the Warren. You sound great for being in Livonia. That's awesome. And be careful on the way home. We'll talk to you probably then. We'll see. KGZSI.
Yep, as always, Dakota, have fun. And if it gets, it could get worse while you're in there, so just be real careful on your way home. If so, you got a long way to go. Anywho, Greg, I think I'm going to go take a shower. I'm still a little stanky from shoveling a little bit ago, and I didn't shower this morning, so I'm going to go hose off and get comfy and wait for the next salvo. I think we got more coming.
Righto. Yeah, I think I'll be doing another round of it. I guess sometime tomorrow afternoon, like 4 o'clock, it'll be all done. Not exactly sure on that. Don't quote me, but we're in a lull right now, and we're getting another batch, so we'll see. All right, we'll talk to you later. KEA-VSI.
Hi, Greg. We'll catch you in a bit. I'm going to go hose off and maybe get myself a coffee. Back in a while. W8FU. Your audio is pretty light, so it's kind of tough. There's a little bacon fry, so it's real tough copy. I caught KF8. Go ahead, give it another try, but audio is pretty light.
Calling on an ICOM 5-watt HD from Fenton, Fenton Township, and I can hit the Holley repeater, so it's pretty amazing the thing will reach out that far.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you're on the Central Michigan Network series of repeaters. There's a bunch of them, and then I had they got three guys that were out here chatting. We're all on the FBI network, series four repeaters down in Metro Detroit, and we're linked up most of the time to the Central Michigan guys out that way. So, and it makes for a really nice network. We have pretty darn good coverage in southeast Michigan, up through into Port Huron. We get downriver could probably use a little help, but all in all, we're pretty solid through here, and then you guys pick it up. Central Michigan Network picks it up all over from there, Lansing and Flint and Saginaw and all that stuff, Frankenmuth. So it's good stuff, man, good stuff. KF8 makes you a newer call, so you'll find all that out. A lot more good stuff, too. It's a lot of fun, man, a lot of fun. Name here is Sean, but I am going to jump out of here. I've been waiting to get a shower after doing the snow, and I think I'm going to go take advantage now. Catch you later, W8FU. And like I said, the audio is a little light. You might want to look into that, make it a lot easier to pick you out of the bacon fry. W8FU.
I appreciate it, Ben.
This is W8DIJ.
This is KD4UHY, Northern Alabama on Echo Lake. Anyone have a copy on this station?
KF8CWD, listening.
W8NFC Mobile. NAKTP.
W8NFC.
What up?
Nothing, just driving on 94 down river.
so I don't have to drive as far to the office in the morning with the roads that work overtime. And these people are driving like crazy.
Well, I guess after midnight we're supposed to get whopped with snowmageddon again, so we shall see. They were driving a little crazy this morning, but not bad. They had the roads taken care of pretty well, but, you know, none of the easements or the, you know, the exit paths. So if you got stuck in that, you were in trouble.
Yeah, right now it's just wet out here. It's about 31 degrees, so it's not, I don't know, misting, I think. But, I guess somebody that only lives about 10 minutes from my office, so instead of having to drive all the way from the house to Detroit, take your 10-minute drive in the morning and be there by 7.
You're the one that lives up in Elmont or Armada or somewhere, right?
I'm over in St. Clair.
Oh, that's right. Okay, you're the fireman.
Yes, sir.
So who's going to protect and serve tonight?
Well, there's plenty of others to go around. We carry a duty person all weekend, so there's at least one person guaranteed, and it's not my weekend. I don't have one until the 7th, so that's why I took the overtime. It pays better.
Yeah, you guys are paid on call, right? That's how it works over there?
Yeah, we're paid on call, but if the officers have duty weekends, so it happens to be one of the lieutenant's duty weekends this week, so I don't have to still respond, but I don't have to, if I want to not respond, I don't have to.
Yeah, still, believe it or not, I'm still on a fire department on the west side of the state. They never took my name off the list. My name is still on the wall, but I help them out once in a while. All my family lives over there, and they're short of people, you know, FDIC or, you know, something bad happens or whatever. They're down. I go over there and stay at one of my family members' houses and help them out. But at my age, all I do is drive, but I've been on that little team since I was 21, and I spent probably 30 years, you know, over there. But that one's all volunteer, but they're pretty good. They got an ISO rating of 5.
Ours is a 4, so we're doing pretty good. In fact, we just had an ISO check a couple weeks ago, as a matter of fact, so we should know if we change or what happened. They said we probably won, so we're a 4, which is good. No, we make it. I mean, it isn't what it used to be 30 years ago either. You can't get these kids to commit to anything.
No, I agree. The team that I help out a little bit, matter of fact, we just used Sean's expertise for a project that they had going on over there. They were trying to get him to put a BDA in a school, and they're trying to turn that into the chief's problem. And Sean was kind enough to help me out, to help him out, you know, tell him what needed to be done, and, you know, basically, the answer turned out good anyway, so it didn't matter. But, yeah, it was the same thing over there. They got a pretty good team. They had one of them get electrocuted. I think I told you that about a year ago, maybe 2 years ago. Two years, February ago, under an ice storm, power line dropped on them. So that was pretty traumatic for that team over there. So, yeah, I know. But, yeah, congratulations on the 4. That's really good for a paid-on-call department. Around here, when I showed up, some of these communities I showed up in, I was a lot younger, and they told me to go away. They didn't want any paid-on-call or any of that. You know, I had fire 1, fire 2. I was an EMT specialist. I had all of it. And, they were just looking for full-time stuff, and their ISO rating was like a 6. I won't say what community it was, but I thought, oh, my gosh, there is something to be embarrassed about.
people just, it's a different ideology, put it that way. But no, you get these kids and they, you know, not like when I joined almost 30 years ago where, you know, you signed up and you committed, you know. You were, you know, other things, you know, family, fire, and then everything else, you know. Now it's like family, everything else, and the fire department might be, you know, sixth on the list of your things in their hierarchy.
Oh, very good. Yeah, well, good for you. And like I said, I'm glad. Yeah, there's not many of us left, so, but I'm impressed with that number. That's nice. Well, that means you got the equipment, you got the people, you got the training, you got the knowledge, you got the water. I mean, you got the whole package. That's a tough one. Somebody think I told me that Troy was a 3. That's really good. You know, of course, Detroit and stuff, you know, they're 1s, but, you know, realistically, I kind of look at it, you know, you got a whole bunch of guys that have no fear, and you got the stuff, you're going to get a 1, and also, you know, if your staff's, like, super heavy.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Troy still has paid on call, so that's an interesting feat right there. Actually, one of our former guys is on Troy. He comes back for coffee usually a couple Saturdays a month with the guys. But yeah, he's over there. He's on one of their stations.
You're going to have to give me and maybe the wife a tour someday. I'd like to see it. She's pretty familiar with the one that I play around with. And like I said, all my brothers were on it. My brother was actually chief for a while. It's a 6-year gig. Second assistant, 2. First assistant, 2. Real chief, 2. And then you're out and you're back to being just a regular old fireman. So that's how they play it. But, it's very impressive what they have. Got a 105-foot ladder, and brand new squad, real nice, international. They got a lot of nice trucks, 2 Class A pumpers. I think they just ordered another one. So, and a brand new fire station that's not even a year old.
Yeah, we got all the good apparatus, but what we lack is a good station. We're trying to get our authority to realize that they need to start pushing the station. Our station was built in the 60s, and we're buying trucks to fit the station. It's not cohesive anymore.
Yeah, that's a common thing. My buddy is he's really into it. He's a captain, and he's my best friend. Been my best friend when we were kids. He was my ambulance partner for a long time. That's a story for not on the radio. Neither one of us really belonged on the rig, but I had the license and I could drive a rig and make lights and noise, so I was the candidate. But it was rural Michigan too, so they really didn't care as long as you were there. But yeah, do you guys run medicals too?
Just MFR, then you have a transporting ambulance in the county, so we do MFR stuff. So that's fine. You can make money.
Yeah, over there they don't, unless they're called an AF. They'll assist. The ambulance is owned by the hospital. So if they're called an assist, you know, JAWS calls, rescue calls, all that other stuff, of course, no questions asked, boom, they're out the door. You know, it's a 3-way dispatch, QR, which is quick response, and that stems from the old days when the ambulances were so far away, but they don't really even need a QR anymore, but gives the volunteers, the EMS volunteers, an important role in the community, so you don't want to take that away, and so they have that. So, but if they're called, like, a car wreck or entrapment, anything like that, rescue, blah, 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 it'll be a 3-way, be the ambulance, QR, and, of course, the trucks.
Yeah, medicals, we go on anything, Delta or Echo, and then obviously we go on anything else that you can think of rescue-wise to go on, you know, at either one of our free power plants or, you know, gas cover like 13, 14 miles of that. Yeah, we're pretty diverse in a lot of different things.
So you got the orange swimsuits.
We had the yellow Mustang for ice rescue. But, yeah. I have an orange Mustang PFD.
I ain't getting in the water with the PFD. Of course, at my age, I ain't getting in the water with any D. So, and I told them to thing with the air pads, you know, that they gave me my own mask. I gave it back. I said, nope. I said, the only way I'm putting on one of those is if I have to come get one of you guys. And things have got to be really at the bottom of the barrel.
Yeah, I wear a white helmet. I find myself putting it on quite a bit. Only because on the first truck, I'm putting it on. You know, somebody else, you know, either higher or of equal status of me is there. So I get a car fire a couple weeks ago. I got off the truck, packed up, ready to go, and these guys were fumble park football, trying to figure out what they wanted to do.
Oh, yeah, the indecision, NAKPT, by the way, the indecision is just amazing. So, last question, I got to go, pulling in the driveway, so we're going to go have an adult beverage and maybe a steak or a hamburger. MSA or Scott?
Avon ISI. Probably, well, about 5 years, we're probably going to switch because they don't make them anymore, so. But I'm not a fan of them, but that's what the department had when I got there, so. I'm a Scott fan. I like Scott. I've had Scott in other places I've been, so. Well, it sounds like you're pulling in the driveway, so I'll let you have a final in, say, 7:30 W8NSC.
Take care again. Handle your volley. Yeah, my brother, he died about a year ago. He was the big shot for Scott. He sold Scott all over the state. So he was at West Shore. We'll chat later. NAKPT.
NAKPT.
I just turned it on. Oh, dude, for what was supposed to be an exhibition game, it is unbelievable. I mean, we've seen at least four significant fights. I mean, the boys are playing like soldiers, not like players, so it's kind of interesting.
Yeah, well, when a stable genius provokes, it tends to raise tempers.
Yeah, well, at least we're ahead. And I have a feeling if we stay ahead, it's going to get more testy. Use that word. It's a nice word, testy. I met a guy today at that class that wants to meet you.
Crosby's still playing?
He is, and Larkin is, yes. And to Chuck, I forget where he plays for, but he's looking for a fight all the time.
I remember he was Winnipeg way back in the day, and then where'd Winnipeg go? I can't remember. Minnesota? Well, that's got to be his kid, right? Because Keith Kachuk has been, God, it's been years. Can't still be him.
Yeah, I don't know. That was the name on the jersey. So it's possibly the offspring.
Where's the guy at?
Where's the tournament being played?
I think Montreal. Lots of red and lots of booing. So my guess is, I know it's definitely north of the line, so I think Montreal. You think if you almost players, you got to be just human right now, because, you know, they all have real jobs. Anyways, I gotta let you go here. We're pulling down our road, but yeah, there's a guy that does what you do. He does it for gross points, and he was in that class, and he's a friend of Paul's. He says he'd like to come take a tour of your place sometime and meet you, so we can chat about that a little later.
I know Paul. All right, anyhow, yeah, I'm just going to probably watch this. I didn't even know it was on. Oops. My son knew it. My son's watching it. He didn't say nothing, so I just kind of, like, blew over it. Thanks for the tip. Anyhow, catch you. I'll be at a few.
Later. Quit gassing the snowblower. My advice to all my friends. N-A-K-P-P. Good night, everyone.
Say goodnight,
boy.
Say goodnight, Sean. W-8-R-C-Y. Yeah, I'm still bumming, listening to the poop show over on the 675. Catch y'all later. W-8-R-C-Y.
Let's see how old everybody is. Goodnight, John boy.
Bye.
KC0, KRK, Echo Link Monitoring.
NADF.
Somebody on their way home from their big banquet. Good evening. W-8-R-C-Y. Raise your hand.
Good evening, Donald. Yes, on my way home, still have to determine if these roads are ice or just wet. I'm doing 75, getting passed by people doing probably 90, so I'm not seeing anyone hit the median just yet.
Okay, well, I've got 29 here in Madison Heights, and I'm not listening to anything on the radio in the way of my scanner, so I don't know what the roads are like or if there's been any accidents through Oakland and Macomb counties, or even Wayne, because you're coming in from Livonia. But, you know, it's kind of quiet, I guess. I haven't really heard much at all. I'm just up, just bumming right now. Not really doing much. I'm trying to get some things on my phone working after my phone died about a month ago. And I lost things like my Zello, Discord, Telegram, Telegraph, whatever it's called. I lost those accounts, and I'm slowly getting them back. I just got my Discord back, so, yeah, that's all I'm doing.
I do not enjoy the account setup process every time I get a new phone. I've got most of it ironed out to where it's usually, you know, sign in with Google, or it's in a keychain, like iCloud, or my Samsung stuff, but yeah, I know what you mean. It's a huge pain. And yeah, there's not a lot of traffic. I think people are kind of aware that the roads are not great and that they were supposed to be pretty bad. But I mean, the people on the roads are definitely driving like complete idiots. I felt my rear end slip a tiny bit, but it's not like, you know, I don't feel like I'm going to lose control of the vehicle, but the roads are definitely wet, and I'm assuming as the night progresses, they're probably going to start to freeze up.
Yeah,
my significant other had a couple of too many glasses of wine at lunch today, and she's home resting and probably sobering up too. So I'm home alone on the couch here, and I'm, like I said, it's just, I'm hunkered in. I know she's hunkered in and safe, and, you know, Sean was mentioning earlier on the radio that he was hunkered in for the day after doing some stuff, and, you know, it's just, everybody's waiting for this big storm, and it's hardly, last time I looked out, which was about, just after 9, and I still haven't had any snow over here, and it's 10:30 now, so who knows when it's coming, because most of the snow tracked to the north of me, and, yeah, who knows, but we're about you now, because you're coming in solid.
I'm hoping we don't get any more. On the bright side of things, I did win a gun tonight, so I got to go to Clarkston to pick it up. So I really don't want to drive in crap again. No sooner did I unkey from that last transmission, I got off of 696 at Mound and came around that off-ramp that kind of has the high median that's an overpass, and there was a guy spun out, smoked the... thank God he hit the big barrier that keeps you from going off of the damn bridge, but airbags off and everything, and he's in a horrible spot because there's people flying off on that on-ramp or exit ramp, and you have about a half a second to react and get over before you you hit him.
That was a daily commute for me and my ex-wife. And I remember how treacherous that Mound Road, cloverleaf cluster fudge of an interchange, more of an interchange than it is just a series of exit ramps. I mean, it was just, you know, first of all, it's got to wrap around the tank arsenal and, you know, clear that. And then it just goes in all these different directions. And, you know, from an aerial view, it looks fine. But when you go to drive it, it's something else. And, yeah, I could tell some pretty bad stories where some vehicles have gone off of it over the years. And when they redid it a few years ago, I think they worked on a portion of it when they had the Macomb County section of 696 shut down for that rebuild on both sides. They were going to try to change or reconfigure some of it or do something to make it safer. What they've done, I don't know, but the few times I've gone through it since the rebuild, I can't tell of anything different. But then again, the cement right now, I notice, gets a lot slicker since the rebuild. And you can't run things like traction control or ABS or even your cruise control because it just messes up the vehicle. And, yeah, that was scary the first time I ever came across that because I don't drive all the time. So that was kind of weird for me.
Yeah, that was my old job. That was a pretty frequent commute as well. I was getting off at Mount often, and even in the middle of the summer, I hated that because, had a prime example right there, right? Like, fortunately, I wasn't going fast, and I slowed way down thinking it was going to be icy at that last bend before I went up. And as soon as I came around the corner, I saw hazards because some guy was nice enough to stop or may have hit him, I don't know. And then I saw a... it looked like an Equinox, probably front-wheel drive, perpendicular to the guard, the concrete barrier. But, yeah, no, it's, I don't know. I don't get why people just don't realize that it's cold and it's wet, and that usually equals ice. So even if it's not icy there, it might be icy somewhere else.
That's why you hear all these traffic reporters on the news, whether it's radio or television, you know, WWJ, whether it's traffic on the 8th, they tell you to watch out for those overpasses and ramps because those are the quickest and easiest to ice up. But, you know, nobody heeds these warnings, and you wonder, you know, and then you wonder how these things happen. It's like, duh, you know, I mean... I watch the news every morning for about 30 minutes, just enough to catch the, you know, news, weather, traffic, sports, shut the lid on my computer or go do something else for the rest of the day. But they're still talking about it. It's like one of those common things, you know. You know, heed the salt trucks and, you know, see a salt truck, you know, get out of their way and,
You know, is it better to ride in their ruts or not, you know, behind one, and, you know, you got their ruts and the plowing that they're doing, if that's an advantage or not. So, but, yeah, people just don't listen. They think, you know, I've been driving now for, what, 68? Yeah, about that many years. I don't do math well at this hour of the night. But, yeah, you catch the drift. Just stay out of the drift.
I'm getting a show on my way home tonight, man. Speaking of dumb, so at 14 and Mound, there was a car between, it was on 14, but it was between the north-south on Mound at a red light. The light turned green. They made a left turn, and there was a cop behind them. Like, literally stopped with them in the median area of a 14-mile road, and they made a they made a left turn to head south on Mount. I got flicked immediately. I just cannot believe the things I've seen already.
Somebody else in there? W8RCY, go ahead, sir.
W8RCY, I believe. This is NHL. Are you near Warren, Michigan?
I'm a neighbor of Warren. I'm in the Madison Heights area, west of DeQuinder. Warren is east of DeQuinder, sir.
Yeah, I was just wondering, since you're so close, do you know what happened? Police car got towed up and several cars got pulled up. Do you know anything about that?
I have not been monitoring any of my scanner traffic today. I've been preoccupied with other things and this so-called another snowmageddon thing that doesn't seem to be happening yet. So I'm not aware of anything, and I'm not a big, big news watcher. So I have not heard anything.
Thank you. NHL.
Not a problem, sir. W8RCY. Okay, yeah, back to you, Dakota. Yeah. At least that person hopefully turned south in the southbound lanes and, you know, wasn't going the wrong way, because that's another habit that's been happening a lot lately. And the one thing I have noticed is that a lot of police cars, especially state trooper vehicles, have been getting wiped out this wintry season so far. Can't wait to, you know, I would like to hear what the count is for damaged state trooper vehicles this winter during the, you know, the cold weather. Because every time you turn around, you see another state trooper car, you know, especially the SUVs, just smashed into in the back.
People forget that driving is a privilege and not a right, like this idiot next to me who's got a smashed Blazer, but he's got his face buried in his phone, so hopefully he doesn't hit me. But no, they did make a left turn to head south, but it still blows my mind that people manage to go the wrong way on divided roadways. I just don't understand, and I don't know if that's because we have so many foreigners and they're just not familiar with driving here, or if we have so many idiots that just don't know how to drive.
Why not both? I'm just going to say all of the above. I believe I heard Sean out there. Good evening, sir. You may continue if you have something else to add, but we'll run it back to Dakota.
Let me see if I... All righty. Yeah, just sitting here watching the hockey game, USA versus Canada. Boy, it's heated. We're up 2-1 with 8:55, 54 to go. And, Dakota, I hear you won a gun. What'd you win?
I'm bummed I'm not watching that. A couple guys at the Banquet had it up on their phones, and within, what, 9 seconds, we had 3 flights, which is kind of crazy for a national game, but I guess I don't want to become the 51st state. I won an Anderson AM-15, so it's nothing crazy. I think it's like a $500 gun, but hey, for a $20 ticket, I will take it. Well, let me check. Alright, just waiting for rotation there, but, yeah, okay, I don't know if I've ever heard of that. Anderson, is that a brand? Whatever, free gun. Well, not free, but you want a gun, that is cool. Let's see, I'll have to look that up. Anderson AR something. Like I said, it's nothing crazy. Really not anything that I would, you know, go to the store and seek out and say, I want that one. So our whole table won, which was sweet. It's kind of a... eligible, and then they drew our table, so that was pretty sweet. But like I said, I'll take anything that isn't, you know, I'll consider $20 free, because I was there anyway, went to a good cause. But it's the Anderson AM-15, so instead of AR, it's Alpha Mike. But we'll see. I'm going to go try to pick it up tomorrow and probably have to put, you know, an optic on it, buy magazines, all that fun stuff. But yeah, whatever. Free gun. Okay, there was a double there, but I caught that. Oh, yeah, I'm looking at them now. I did, it's an AR, you know. When you said AM-15, it threw me for a loop. But, yeah, they got a lot of different ones. They got the AM-15 Frontline, M-Lock, the A4, the Utility, the Pistol. So they got a whole bunch. So, well, that's cool. You can't hardly beat that with a stick. Donald?
Yeah, again, I apologize. I should have did a double there. Yeah, again, that's a company I've never heard of, and I'll look into it probably tomorrow and make note of it. Anderson, AM-19, and I'll, like I said, I'll look into it tomorrow. Not into guns like I used to be, and that's one hobby I dropped, and, you know, so, yeah, that's about my take on guns right now. I mean, I still see some guns out there that are amazing, and you know, some of these ghost guns, I mean, as much as they're as scary as they are, the technology in them is still something that fascinates me. All of these things are being, you know, made illegally or whatever, you know, the politics of it. But, yeah, so, yeah, guns for me, I'm pretty much passe on.
Sorry, Donald, I didn't mean to double with you. Let me make sure I got it. All right, I think we got the rotation. I don't know what model it is necessarily. I'm hoping it's at least the M-Lock one. If it's like an OG, you know, plastic handguard M4 style, I might end up, you know, moving it along because it's going to be. It's going to be more of an investment than it's worth putting on a handguard. You got to factor in the stick and all that fun stuff. So we'll see. But, you know, it's better than a stick in the eye, and it's better than not winning anything because I did spend another $200 on other gun raffle tickets. Guess what? I didn't win those other raffles.
Well, even if you add them all together, that gun should be easily get you with that and a few $100 to spare. So, yeah, very good. That's cool. You came out ahead. So, yeah, you know, my guess would probably be just a, you know, just an M4 style. But, yeah, never know. They got a pretty broad selection. I got some uppers and a barrel, a 300 black barrel recently. I've just got to pick a handguard out so I can get that build finished. I've been kind of sitting on it.
as a handguard. All the handguards I've been looking at are not cheap, so I've just been trying to decide which one. I should probably just get a Noveski. I got a Noveski barrel, and I should probably just get the matching Noveski handguard. Pay the ferryman, you know. If you're gonna play in that boutique realm, you gotta pay the fiddler, you know.
Pay the piper, you know, to get what you want and so on and so forth. But my knowledge of guns is not like what it used to be. And like I said, I've just gotten out of that hobby and never had time for target shooting or anything like that anymore. So I just, you know, it is what it is. And when I moved from Macomb County to Oakland County, my attitude changed. Can't have a gun here in my senior campus unless it's, you know, management knows about it and it's registered with the Madison Heights Police and everything else, and it just wasn't worth the hassle. And so for me, I've moved on from it. That's pretty much where I am with guns now. So now I play radio. W8RCY, over to you, Dakota.
That ain't DBS. Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that, especially, like you said, if you got to jump through hoops for it, you know, where you're at, you don't necessarily need one, per se. I don't think they're necessarily a bad thing to have, right? Like Band-Aids. You never want to use them, but they're handy when you need them. But there's nothing wrong with that. And where I live, it's kind of a staple. You need them. There's all kinds of critters and things. But Sean, I know what you mean. You get into that realm of, you start getting into Noveski and all these other, you know, S-tier companies. The good thing is you'll get your money back out of it if you ever move it along. The bad thing is you got to spend the money on it. So is that a new acquisition? I remember you and I talked about it, I don't know, maybe a month or two ago. You wanted to build a 300. Did you have the barrel and everything then, or did you finally... Say, screw it, I'm
going to
build one.
Not sure. I didn't get the barrel all that long ago. I'm not sure if I got it after we were talking about it or not. But I was an early adopter of 300 Black. I was all on the bandwagon. Then I did up a little. And at the time, the twist rate and the optimum barrel length and all that was still very much in flux. I built a 7 or an 8, I can't remember. I think it was an 8-inch, and the twist was a little fast, and especially since I wanted to build that, you know, do-all, that multi-purpose Swiss Army, gun that could do suppressed, unsuppressed, short barrel, and I wanted it to cycle without a gas block, so I wanted to be able to do, you know, hypersonics, subsonics, suppressed, unsuppressed, in a short barrel, and that can all be done, but you gotta pick the right combination of gas length and barrel length and all that stuff, and the optimum kind of settled in around 9 inches, and it was a little longer. I think I had a 7 maybe, because everybody was really gung-ho on the shorties. And I think the optimum came in about 9. And then they had that honey badger. You might remember that. That was all intriguing. And I missed the boat on that. I couldn't get one of those setups from, was that AEC, I think? I'm not sure. And then Noveski always had a quality product. And I put myself in the be notified list over at Noveski. It's a little different. Beastie since the old man died, Noveski himself. The wife's running it, but they're not quite as on the ball. But I still always wanted a Noveski, and so I put myself on the list, and I got the one with the gas block, you know, with the Noveski cross, and it comes with the gas tube, and the headspace bolt, and all that, and I went 10.5. You know, it's. Can't hurt, right? That'll still give me a pretty tidy package with the suppressor. And so I got that, I'd have to look wind. Might have been since we talked. But now I need the handguard now. I've got everything else. I got a good Bravo company bolt, so and I got the Headspace bolt, so I got the bolt carrier from Bravo Company, which is top notch. They make great stuff. I got my Mega upper, which I'm going to build it on because I'm a Mega fanboy, and so I bought a bunch of Mega uppers and make sure I keep myself in Mega uppers whenever I do a build. And now Zev bought them out, so you can't buy the Mega marked ones anymore, but they run them every so often. So I got my upper, I got my bolt and my bolt carrier. I've got my barrel. Of course, I've got my flash hider because I'm going to be using the silencer co on that. So really, all I have to do is come up with a handguard, and that'll be in the rearview mirror. So I'm looking forward to it. I should probably just pick up this stupid Novesky one that I know is, it's just a typical M-Lock kind of an affair. They all look the same. So pay the premium to get the Novesky cross on it. You know how it goes.
You guys are talking over my head, so I'm going to bow out and let you two continue. I'm going to probably be going to bed in about 15 minutes anyway, so I'm going to bow out. Guys, have a good night. Dakota, have a safe trip home the rest of the way. W8RCY. See everybody on Sunday.
See you later, Donald.
Sorry, us gun junkies get going and it doesn't stop. yeah, Sean, I think that's a good idea. I'd stick with the Novesky. Whenever I, for the most part, my first build was an absolute Frankenstein. I had no idea what I was doing, and I was kind of figuring it out as I went, but I built it from, I didn't buy a complete upper. Every single component I bought, put together, turned out okay, but it was a Frankenstein. And then after, as I progressed and started getting more savvy and picky, if I built an arrow, it had an arrow handguard, arrow upper, arrow lower, that kind of thing. But I forgot that you're a Mega guy too, which is awesome. I hope Zep doesn't ruin them. Zep does an okay job. I feel like their quality used to be phenomenal, and then they kind of went mainstream and started going downhill. But I grabbed that thing up. I think a 10-inch. I think a 10-inch for a 300 black is perfect. I would always err on the side of length rather than decreasing it. I had a 10.3 Geissele Super Duty that was chambered in 5.56, and totally, apples to oranges here, but, I was getting like 2,600 feet per second out of a 55 grain FMJ, which is atrocious for that round, and it's because it was a 10.3 and it was a fire breather, so. But 300 black, put a can on there. I don't know which one you have or if you have one yet, but you'll be, right around that 16, 17 inch mark, which I think is completely manageable for a fully kitted out suppressed weapon.
Yep. Now I went 12 and a half on my 5.56 shorty. For that reason, I just wanted to, I was looking at the numbers and 12 and a half got you, it still got me in the ballpark but without giving up a whole lot. And I almost thought about going with the 14 and a half, do a classic M4, I ended up doing the 12 and a half, and I'm pretty happy with that build on the 5.56 shorty. That is Bravo Company, mostly. Bravo Company bolt carrier, bolt, barrel. Of course, it's got the silencer muzzle device. I forget what handguard I got on that. Or if that's a Bravo as well. Yeah, you know what? That's right. I bought an entire Bravo Company upper. They had a really good deal on a 12.5-inch upper, so I bought the whole damn thing from them. And then I took it all apart just so I could rebuild it on my Mega upper. And I ended up selling the Bravo Company upper to somebody. So it's like, because I'm I'm OCD like that in my mega uppers. But anyhow, yeah, that's right. My 300 black was like you said, it was a you know, I threw it together out of whatever parts I could get. I was an early adopter, and hold on. I found this company that was that could get me a barrel when there was just not a lot of selection out there, and I don't even remember the name of it. I had records of it somewhere, but when the first scare came, I think it was when Obama was just before he got elected, things went absolutely crazy, and I ended up selling some real mediocre guns for some stupid money. I converted, and then of course I could get everything with, you know, with my connections. I could get everything at regular prices, you know, at the police outfitters. And I replaced, you know, these like well built guns, but they were just builds, right? You know, with miscellaneous part DPMS and things like that. And I ended up, you know, selling these built ones and replacing them with Colt 6920s. You know, and I just figured I'm going to get all the goods good, sell these things. And buy a Colt 6920 to replace it and pocket the difference. Now a Colt 6920 is, you know, I think they're under a grand now, but at the time it wasn't the case.
I think I remember you telling me about that, the wheeling and dealing you did during the Obama administration. I remember that because that was, I did the same thing. I only had one at the time. That one I built, I think I had, I don't know, $500, $600 into it, and I ended up walking away with, like, I ended up trading it in, so I got a Glock, 17 Gen 4 brand new and $600 cash from a gun shop, so I don't know, I walked out with, like, $1,200, but, yeah, I think those days are probably gone. I hope they're probably gone for the foreseeable future here. We don't have to get these scares anymore, but, I would like to get a 300 black out or pull one together someday, but from a, you and I have had this conversation, from a utilitarian standpoint, I can't hunt with it, right? So it is a sweet bump of the night gun. I would love to have one in my safe upstairs with a can on it because they're quiet and they thump. But, yeah, I don't know. I just don't have any practical, I don't even have practical views for a 5.56, if I'm being totally honest. Everything I do, I'm shooting varmints at 300-400 yards. I need to be precise, so, ARs are just, you know, exercising the Second Amendment and a cool thing to have in case you need it.
Well, I'll tell you what my thinking is on it, okay? They aren't terribly useful. But, you know, in the grand scheme of things, for a centerfire rifle, they are cheap to shoot. You know, you're never going to beat the deals you're going to get on 5.56, you know, ammo. Even when, you know, things are a little tight, that's still the one you're likely going to be able to get. So that's the one reason. It keeps you shooting, right? And you don't have to, I mean, it was getting tough and expensive even then, but you can always get it, right? And then I've got, for my longer range stuff, I converted recently to 308. And I know they're much better rounds, right? But I was trying to move toward that more standardized 7.62 and 5.56 world, and then the 300 black just makes such perfect sense, right? Because I can use, you know, my 7.62 dies and my 5.56 brass, and I can make my own 300, you know, and it's like it was like this match made in heaven. So for me, it's just kind of a way I can have my reach out and touch me, bolt is a 308, and that's a Remington, I think I was telling you about it, I forget which one it is, the Remington 700 platform, and in 308, and then I've got the ARs for fun, you know, because you can pretty much always afford to shoot those. And, you know, and the 300 black is just this happy little guy right in between. You know, you get some powders, some primers, and, you know, and you can make your own, roll your own with the brass. So that was kind of my thinking. Now, if I was going to do anything, if I was, you know, would that be what I would do if I was going to get, you know, seriously back into, you know, regular deer hunting? I mean, I might be willing to take the 300, You know, it depends on the scenario. It depends on how far is my shot going to be, right? If I'm going to be taking it, you know, in, you know, 100 yards, you know, in some tight quarter stuff, you know, maybe sitting in the swamp, sure, I'll take the 300 and do it justice. But yeah, there's just, you know, take the 308 otherwise, right? And so, you know, it's just not, aside from maybe that scenario where, you know, hold on. Aside from that scenario where I might, you know, be plunked down in a tight core, you know, swampy kind of an area doing deer hunting, I don't know what I'd do with the 300 black in a practical measure. It just, it was just this happy kind of like, you know, I can do this with this and this, and hey, it's like a match made in heaven.
NADBF. I like your school of thought. I kind of share it, like, standardizing on most common and, you know, availability of calibers, right, like 223, that's everywhere, 9 mils everywhere, 308s everywhere. And you got options, too. Like, I put together a 223 varmint rifle this past summer, and I hemmed and hawed forever. I'm like, God, 223, like, that's not really a hunting round. And I'm reading things, these guys that don't know what they're talking about, they're like, it's not inherently accurate, blah, 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 there's better rounds. And then I'm thinking to myself, I'm like, I can go to Ace Hardware and buy ammo. There's every single load under the sun from every manufacturer, so I'm bound to find a round that my gun loves, which, fortunately, I bought two different Hornady ones, and it landed on the cheaper one. Second point, it's cheap to shoot. I can get 20 rounds of Varmint Express 55-grain V-Maxes for, like, $25. But I've eyed it. I've been looking at 308s, but where I hunt down here, we're below the rifle line, so I can't use it for deer. I can't use it at night for coyotes, so it kind of falls in that weird spot again to where I'd have to go up north to shoot it. And then, in my opinion, it's too big and too unforgiving to shoot long-range varmint with, because then if I miss, I'm risking skipping 150-grain, you know, or more or slightly less bullet into the next property, which I don't want to do. But the 300 blackout, I was thinking, as you were talking, you know, coon hunting, treed raccoons, that'd be an awesome round for it. It would put them down. Doing it with a 22 does not work well. And then I also don't want to rattle 5.56 up off into the sky. And then down south, I know they use it for pigs big time up in, like you were saying, in close quarters, because it's really, realistically, if you're shooting 300 black, you're 100 yards and in.
Yeah, I always thought if I ever one of the deer camps that I used to do was kind of swampy and tight and all that, and I shot a 44 mag out of that one for a while. You know, one of them awesome. I don't know if you ever saw the awesome Ruger carbines that they had back in the day. Oh God, I'd give my nut for one of those. I love that thing. Of course, I cut my teeth on it deer hunting, but you know, it was great for that. Really tight. I think in that swampy blind that I had set up there in Alger off the tip of Wassee, I think I would have been hard-pressed to get a shot at 100. I think most of my shots were going to be 50, 60, 70 maybe. So it was you know, pretty good for that. And, you know, and the 300 black would shine there as well. So, you know, it depends. I don't know that I'd take an evil black rifle deer hunting, you know, anyhow. I mean, I would if it was the appropriate tool for the, you know, for the mission, but, you know, that is just other ways to do it. Although, like you say, I'm kind of like standardizing, you know, in that, so. The thing I'd like to get this 300 black upper done, and I really want to do a 22 upper and a 9 mil upper, and I think I'll be all set then. If I could get, you know, a 22 upper and 9 mil upper, and I'd like to get a 22 suppressor and a 9 suppressor. My 300 suppressor is 30, so you know, I'm gonna have to if I want to get a suppressed 9 upper, I'm gonna have to get a whole other suppressor, and that kind of, you know, I can already fill the bend over on that one coming. So we'll see. But, definitely would like to get a 22 silencer. And a 22 upper. I also would like to get a pistol, a 22 pistol. So I'm gonna that'll be a lot of research when I don't know. You know, I've been out of the loop on that, and surely all the things I was up on when I was actually thinking about getting one need to be completely revisited now, but, you know, one of these days, I just haven't been getting out nearly enough, you know, and, I really got stuff in there I got to get more time on, or I got to start thinking seriously about thinning the herd and, or something, you know, before I start adding. I added a 365, I think I was telling you. I added a 365 X for all expensive purposes. Absolutely adore it. I haven't got enough time on it yet, but so far, absolutely adore the thing.
That 365X is still on my short list, more specifically the Legion, but again, that's a tough pill to swallow for a carry gun that I'm going to beat the crap out of and scratch and whatever, which isn't a big deal, it's what they're for, but, you know, $1,200 for a bear gun, they got to put a dot on it and buy a holster, and it gets expensive quick. But I'm with you, I don't think the, you know, the bad black rifles are meant for game hunting, that's just my opinion. I'm not saying I'm a purist, but I do like the sport of going out there with, like, I hunt with my 350 Legend, which is a break action. It's a hunting rifle to me. Same with all my varminting. I do bolt guns. I prefer bolt guns. Just for the accuracy, and in my opinion, they're easier to move around and whatnot, so I don't know. But I recently bought a MetaQuest 3, the VR. And there's a training program called Ace X Shooting, and I didn't really want to give it a fair shake, and then I messed with it, and it's actually incredible how much it translates to real shooting. You know, it does everything. Like, your point of impact is your point of aim, and the only thing you're missing is recoil, really. But that's kind of what I resorted to, because I'm in the same boat as you, is I'm not getting any trigger time on any of these other things that I need to be on. You know, I was talking earlier, I haven't shot a deer since opening day. That was the last game animal I took, so just, you know, winter sucks. No one wants to go outside and shoot guns. I don't like going to indoor ranges a whole lot. And, you know, and in the summertime, it's like, I want to hunt, I don't want to go shoot, so I kind of resorted to the digital stuff, so we'll see. We're going to be doing not a company range day, but a bunch of guys at work, we're all going to go shoot, so I'm going to see what my actual trigger time's like in comparison to the VR stuff.
So would you say the VR, I'm missing something, something's not clicking.
So the MetaQuest 3 is a virtual reality headset. So you put these goggles on, and you're immersed in this world of virtual reality. And I bought a handset. It's got a controller for each hand, too. That's like, it's got gyro and tracking and all that fun stuff. So I bought a handset, which is another name for a specific pistol. So I bought a Staccato HD4, HDP4, whatever it was. Is the model I got, and then the controller goes in that, so you're running a gun that weighs about the same, feels about the same, it's got a mag release, it's got a 3.5-pound trigger in it, so your realism's a little bit closer than if you're just playing, like, a video game, so to speak. So it's a training tool, so you can do it inside. It's like the laser cartridges you put in your guns and the dry fire training and all that stuff, but it's way more fun because it's way more immersive. There's USPCA courses that you shoot in it. There's leaderboards and all that kind of, you know, it tells you your splits and all kinds of crap.
You literally meant VR, okay. That's the first thing I thought, and then I was just had a disconnect there because, you know, we were talking about the world of blue steel and chrome, and I just was like, you know, okay, that sounds really cool. I would love to check that out. That is neat. And I could see where that would be could be a great tool. I'll be damned. If you don't mind me asking, what is a whole setup like that? You were starting from scratch. What would you have to get invested to get something like that going?
Yeah, that's where it gets ugly. So you can get they make a MetaQuest 3S, which is the step down from the MetaQuest 3. from what I can tell, negligible differences, but it's $299 for the headset and the controller. Then you need to buy the handset from Ace. You'd be able to get a Leo discount, so you save 20%. So figure $160 for the handset. And then with the same discount, it's unfortunately a subscription, so it's $14 a month. But with that $14 a month, they send you new drills and new courses every month. All right, well, it's not a terrible buy-in. It's under $5. And, you know, and if it's an effective training tool, you know, you could make that argument. So, you know, I don't know. I mean, I don't know if it is or isn't. You know, I'd have to defer to people that have been using it and realized if it's, you know, actually helped them in, you know, IRL. So, but very intriguing, if nothing else. Sounds like a ton of fun.
Special forces, something that they can drill and lift without using a camera. They do a lot of things. They use repetition, you know, drive fire, and any of that equipment.
Hi, Dakota, were you able to copy any of that? Negative. I was hoping you did because I was going through downtown Elmont. I didn't get any of that. Yeah, sir. I'm sorry about that. Your audio is so light that it's no copy. Anyway, let me see if I got it. All right. So I sent you a couple videos. So those were recorded from the goggles. That was my first. First go at it, so it's not super pretty, but it is a ton of fun, and we'll definitely hook up one day, and I'll let you mess with it and see if it's worth your time. But, you know, when you break down these dry-firing things, for example, they were auctioning one off tonight at that banquet. They started like $600 for some quality ones, and obviously there's cheaper solutions, but if you want the good ones that, you know, reset the trigger and help you score accuracy and split time and draw time and all that crap. Like, it gets expensive quick, probably the same price as buying this whole setup. But the cool thing about this setup is I can use this headset for, you know, all kinds of VR stuff, watching movies. I went to a virtual reality concert in it, which was one of the trippiest things I've ever done in my life. I felt like I was on stage. So it's got some multi-use to it, but, you know, I'm not a big VR gamer guy. I bought it specifically for this. But there's, you know, there's other uses for it, too, rather than just a training device. Yeah, I saw those come in. I'll get a look at those maybe later. So, anywho, how far are you from home? You got to be getting close at this point. I was just going to say, let me let you get out of here. I'm pulling onto my road now, so appreciate you riding home with me. Makes the long, boring, icy drive a little bit more tolerable. I figured you must because I noticed you were starting to pick a fence a little bit, but how were the roads? I didn't hear you complaining too much.
I am at 53 and Dryden into Richmond, if that helps with a data point at all. It's usually pretty good, but there's some buildings between me and it. Roads were fine, in my opinion, right? Like, I didn't drive like I normally would. I was a little more cautious. I don't know if you heard me talking to Donald, but getting off at Mound on that off-ramp where it goes up, like, to a little overpass and has that sharp bend, there was a guy in an SUV clearly spun out, smoked the guardrail or the concrete barrier, and blew up all of his airbags, probably totaled his car. But, you know, I was on 696, and people were blowing by me doing 85 like they usually do, so... I think the roads are fine. I just turned on mine. It's nice and drifty, but this is a BFE country road, so I'm not surprised.
All right, real good. Well, you're sounding really good in the Richmond, so we got to figure out why that Romeo isn't working better for you. It should be working great for you where you're at. Okay. Sounds good. Always enjoy talking about the pew-pew, and good thing you got home safely.
We'll catch you tomorrow after yours, W8FU.
Yes, sir. We'll have to either plan a day this summer when it's nice and go out to one of the properties that I can shoot on, or pick a range day. But, yeah, I'll miss your mom tomorrow, so I'll be playing radio. Thanks again. I'll talk to you tomorrow. NATDF.